Our next call focuses on a woman who battles with lust when she looks at a man, and then a woman who is looking for healing from a great deal of emotional challenges after a recent abortion. Following that is a teaching from Mark Cameron and Dr. Alice Benton on how did Jesus handle stress?
Jasmine in Columbus, Georgia, who is joining us on YouTube. We love our YouTube listeners and viewers. Jasmine, talk to us. What's going on today?
Just battling with lust, like sexual lust, like with the thoughts, like it's in my head, and try not to be too inappropriate here, but let's just say this. If I'm around an attractive man, then I start getting those thoughts.
Yes.
And then it's like, I want to jump out of my skin and I want to run to hide, especially if he's a godly man, because I feel like the Holy Ghost in him can, is going to tell him, oh, well, she's having those dirty thoughts about you again. Yeah, because I lived worldly most of my life. So it's like, the dudes I was around when I lived that life, they were players.
Yeah.
So I learned how to be flirtatious and I guess be a player from them. So when I'm around other guys, like, I guess men who are godly, it's like, I try not to take it there. Like, I just try to stay away from men because that seems to be my weakness, men.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the temptations, yeah.
Jasmine, can I just say that as you're talking, my heart is breaking for you. Because underneath it, I just feel this great sense of pain for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was your childhood experience like, especially in your home?
Well, the first time a sexual violation happened was one time my mom and dad got in a fight very long time ago. I was a kid. I think I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I don't know why this happened, but at some point he went from arguing with her to like forcing me in the bathroom. So you kind of already know what happened with that.
Oh, man.
And I didn't want to be in the bathroom with him. I tried to escape that situation. And, you know.
And Jasmine, how old were you when that happened?
I was a little girl.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Like 5 or 6, I think.
Yeah.
I was a little girl.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
So you really learned how then, Jasmine, for survival, to view the world through a sexual lens.
Yes.
And
it's like the people I was around, a lot of them were they were fornicators and adulterers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I was around that stuff. It was like, let's just say it was a big part of my life. It was always around.
Right. You were exposed and awakened at an early age, way too early.
Yeah. That's a great word, Jill, awakened.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime our sexuality is awakened before we are emotionally mature to handle it. So if we experience abuse at a young age, sexual abuse at a young age, like you did, Jasmine, if we're exposed to pornography or sexual material at a young age, like happened to me, what happens is because our emotional development has not matured enough, all of our emotions kind of get fused with our sexual development. And so everything becomes sexual.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if we're happy, we're horny. If we're sad, we're horny. If we're angry, we're horny. If we're lonely, we're horny. Like everything kind of just gets fused together because we didn't learn how to develop our sexuality in a mature way because we weren't mature yet. We could not have experienced sexuality in a mature way at 5, 6, 7 years old. There's just no way because you're not emotionally ready to handle that. And so it does end up creating this situation where we have almost this like hypersexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's
mm-hmm.
not a permanent state where I can't ever unlearn that behavior and can't learn how to handle my sexuality in a mature fashion. But we do need to recognize that if I'm not paying attention, that's my default mode. That's what's going to happen on its own unless I'm paying attention and I'm taking those thoughts captive and doing the discipline work of learning how to relate to my world in a different way.
Yeah.
Like Jasmine, how are your emotional connections? Who are you emotionally?
Not very good because
right.
It's like, like y'all said, I couldn't be able to get my emotions right
mm-hmm.
when I was thrust into all this sexual stuff. It's such a being underage, exposed to that stuff. So you kind of like are I don't want to say being like a porn star, but just you're just hypersexualized. Mm-hmm. And then the people I was around, they was into a lot of that crazy stuff. And it's like,
So that's just how you function and relate to the world.
I didn't have a lot of guidance growing up. I had a lot of bad people around me, like bad influences. Mm-hmm. So as far as emotionally, I feel a disconnect from people emotionally.
Yeah.
Kind of like flat or just don't react the right way or just.
Mm-hmm. So you're all
like, it's like I'm physically there, but mentally and emotionally, it's just like. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Can I, Jasmine, can I share a story with you from scripture?
Yes.
This is from John chapter 4. There was a woman who was well known in that town for being very sexually promiscuous. She had been divorced multiple times, and she was now living with a man that she wasn't even married to. And she was so kind of shunned by the community that she would go to the well at an hour to draw water at an hour that wasn't normal. Most people would go in the early morning when it was still cool out. She was going in the middle of the day. And Jesus happens by this well. And he sits down by the well and she comes up to draw water. And he says, hey, would you give me something to drink? And he engages in a conversation with her. And what's interesting about the conversation is that at some point, Jesus says to her, well, go and call your husband and come back and I'll engage in that question with you. I'll answer that question. And her response to him was, I have no husband. Now, a lot of times we'll read that passage very flatly, like, you know, just stating a fact. But you could very easily read that passage that she was hitting on Jesus, that she was saying, listen, I'm available. I don't have a husband. I don't have a man in my life. I'm available to you. And what's interesting about her story is that she saw her value, her worth as only what she could do sexually for a man. That's what she based her value in. And Jesus said, listen, I need you to see much more than that. That's not your true identity. Yes, you are a sexual being. You were made in the image of God as a sexual being, but that's not your core identity. That's not what brings you value and worth. And so for you, Jasmine, I feel like there's this part of you that has bought a lie from the abuse that you suffered, as well as the models that you saw growing up, that says your value as a woman is somehow tied to your ability to be sexual with a man, as opposed to something much deeper than that. And I think that that's what really God wants you to tap into, is what is valuable about you that's much deeper than your sexuality. And that is what these godly men in your life that you see, that is what they would be drawn to. But if you don't believe it about yourself, it'll be hard for them to see it.
And I think another component,
really,
it is really good, because I think another component of that as well is that the woman at the well also seemed to be searching for love, searching for what she never got. Hence the living water.
Yes, but when Jesus revealed to her that he knew her, that quenched her thirst.
Yes.
She was ecstatic to be known.
Yes.
In a non-sexual way.
Absolutely.
And yes. I think that's, for Jasmine, your form of connection is sexual. That's the only way you really know how to be connected to others. And yet I think you're longing for is that emotional connection.
Yeah.
Where you can be known and it not be sexualized.
And that's where it gets confusing and hard, because, you know, it's like, I need to be connected. I need to be loved. And the way I feel safest or most comfortable is through sex or sexual act.
It's easy.
Yeah. Whereas what I actually need is someone to know me for who I am.
And that's much more vulnerable.
Yes. Yeah. Jasmine, I just want you to know that you are not a bad person. You are not evil. You are not bad. You have been wronged. There are some unhealthy and dangerous things happening inside of you. But the fact that you're calling today, the fact that you are pursuing this with your background and your history is very remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Very remarkable. And so we want to guide you in the direction that can really, really help you. I really, really encourage you to check out SLAA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. there are groups, there are online groups, there's groups in person groups that can really help guide you along that way. And I think that getting into recovery for that is really important. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's another component that's just as important, and that is healing from the trauma that you're carrying inside of you. The pain of the way that you have been horrifically mistreated in your life. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to get into some deep, deep, deep trauma work here and get below the surface and get underneath that and then build. And in addition to that, build really healthy community and relationships. Mm-hmm.